The University Tower chimes, bringing another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, the interim dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Education, Roy Finkenbein.
Hey, Matt, it's good to be here.
Good to have you here, Roy. It's been a while. How's the business?
Good. Actually, I've been spending a lot more time with HR, but we won't go into those details.
So. Really? You've been spending a lot of time with HR?
Yeah, I was over there for a good while this afternoon.
Oh, my.
HR, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Not somebody
yes.
else.
And not because I'm looking for another job.
Oh, my. Yes, human resources. I think of the cat from, isn't it the Catbert from Dilbert, evil HR director? We don't have an evil
HR
director.
No, we have very good HR people here.
We do. Well, to Roy's left, Professor Jason Roach from Communication Studies. How's it going?
Really good. this cookie's really good.
Yeah, Dan Maggio has brought in another wonderful set of cookies from, Strawberry Fields?
Pinwheel Bakery and Ferndale Mystery.
Pinwheel Bakery, good.
Pinwheel Bakery. And it's quite an eclectic bunch. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. So. Do we have any more pistachios?
The red ones? So, Professor Dan Maggio of the First Organization, how is the world of Legos lately?
It's good. Very good. We're getting kicked off. Our season's going, and we have lots of teams.
Good. I thought about you the other day.
Oh
go ahead, please.
I was going to say, you've been interim for like 2 years now. Does the interim title ever...
Third.
Yep. When does the interim title become permanent, or does it ever go away?
He's going to make sure it
when
doesn't
does
become permanent.
When does the interim title become permanent?
He's sure my mind.
So yeah, I was thinking.
So if you'd like to be dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Education,
let us know.
Send $3 and a self-addressed stamp
and we'll
postcard
send you a t-shirt
with Roy's face on it, with his arms crossed,
and a refrigerator.
I'm the dean,
a working one.
Oh my word. No, I was thinking about you the other day, Dan, because it's my now 9-year-old's birthday party. He received a lot of Legos, and I've had this discussion with him many times. Said when I was growing up, because he still plays with some of the Legos I had growing up, we had city, space, and knights, nothing else. And now there's just such a proliferation. He's begging for the Lord of the Rings Legos now, you know? But he unwraps and he gets Monster Fighters, which are Halloween Legos, and I just started salivating, okay? So at the end, there's this giant purple box. And my birthday's in a few weeks, and since I see my 9-year-old not diving into unwrapping this box, I get extremely suspicious, and he slides it over towards me. He goes, "Happy birthday, Daddy," and I'm like, "What?" And I unwrap the 2,046-piece Lego haunted house that should take me at least 20 hours to put together, and I'm extremely excited.
Wow.
Best birthday present.
When I go to the Lego store
best man to get
in
it,
Somerset,
it's a lot of fun.
Like, you've seen the R2-D2?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
And then The VW van.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That is just amazing.
And there is a Lego exhibit coming to the Henry Ford, I'm sure you're well aware of, very, very soon, after the Halloween event is over down there. So
I'm excited.
Stay tuned, folks. Continuing around the table is Professor Jim Tubbs of the Department of Religious Studies.
Hello. It's nice to be here instead of grading papers.
Yes.
What I've been doing all afternoon.
Yes. And I'm sure you were happy to get the final result, which I hope has reached your desk by now, that... the Islamic studies minor is through the system.
Yeah,
so
going to
a couple
the ALT
more steps.
Next week.
That's great. Fantastic.
Unfortunately, the point person, Ahmed, will be in India then.
Oh, my.
Or Brunei.
One I think it's Brunei.
All right. Well.
But Jim and I will be doing our best to represent the
okay, okay.
You guys go to all the fun places.
Yeah. So when was the last time, Professor Dave Chow, College for Creative Studies, downtown Detroit, Michigan, that you were in Brunei?
In my dreams. In my dreams.
How are you doing,
Sultan,
Dave?
We're having tea.
Yes, exactly. So,
how are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing okay. Not too bad. Could
excellent.
Be worse, could be better. That's all.
Yeah, I think that for most Detroiters today, we could be better, but we'll let everybody else do the extrapolation later on. I'll tell you what, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166, or you can send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038, please indicate on the outside of the envelope if you're interested in the dean's position.
Send cash.
You know, we need somebody to send us some election questions. We should have an election trivia show, don't you think?
You know, we actually had a handful of questions at the last one, and you probably would have based all of them. Who hasn't won or has won the popular vote?
Okay, sorry, I missed that.
Isn't that when he stuck his head in the door?
No, that was Smucker, and unless he's a politician that I don't know about.
So based on, at least at this point, I'm sure for our listeners' retrospective celebration of the Tigers reaching the World Series, I was wondering if, since I know we have some baseball fans at the table, at least a couple,
a few, maybe everyone,
If anybody could chime in about their favorite World Series memory growing up, or maybe it's more current World Series memory, more recent. What do you think, Dave Chow?
I was at the 2006 World Series.
That's a big deal. You actually went to a game.
I went to the game.
Wow.
Now, if you want to know how rotten it was, I was teaching class the morning tickets went on sale. And I said, okay, kids, all of you guys by the computers, log in Tigers.com. If you guys can log in, let me know because I've got credit card ready to go. So I had 15 students trying to get me tickets.
Nice.
I got
nice.
A pair of tickets. They were $90 a piece for standing room.
Perfect. Perfect.
Oh, it was great that I got the tickets because I remember they were scalping for like $400 a piece.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know, Mr. Illich, our kind owner, does everything he can, usually, to keep ticket prices down. But once you get past the DS and the CS,
ridiculous.
It's Major League Baseball
but it was,
in charge.
It has been by far the most grueling sporting event I've ever been to.
Wow.
It was cold. I literally wore all my camping and snowboard gear, and it's still the coldest event I've ever been to.
We went in May. And
April.
Oh, it was April. Yeah, might as well have been a February.
We got snowed on. We had to spend the middle innings in the bar because we were freezing our keisters off.
Yep, yep.
When was this?
Right? It was the second. I think it was the second week of the season.
Yeah.
So it's probably mid-April or something like that. Yeah.
So do you have a specifically World Series memory, Jim? Or
no, actually, my favorite is American League Championship.
Sure.
That was Mag's
walk-off
home run in the last game of the 2006 American League Championship.
That's a big deal. That one is etched into most Detroiters' memories.
It was much more exciting than that World Series turned out to be.
Well, yes, that much is absolutely true.
This waiting so long to play the World Series is not good for the Tigers.
Yeah, it doesn't work out well. How about you, Dan?
I do actually have a memory.
That's cool.
Doesn't have to do with the World Series.
It does. I went to school here in 84.
Okay.
And when they won.
That's a big
They
game.
Won that year, right?
Yes.
Okay. So my roommate was a big fan. He's from Westland. And he decided to take his car and some of us for a ride up and down Livernois after they won. Well, the street was filled with people.
Sure.
And it was a little interesting.
Boisterous.
So we made it. We went down, I don't know, for about a mile, turned around, and came back. But the street was just filled with people.
Very cool.
Looking to celebrate. That's my memory.
How about you, Jason?
Well, before I moved to Detroit, I was a diehard New York Mets fan.
Mm.
I actually had tickets to the 2000 Subway Series for the Mets against the Yankees for game one, and that was the one where Roger Clemens threw the broken bat at Mike Piazza. And so I was hoping they'd get him for steroid use ever since, but didn't work out.
Apparently not.
Not yet, at least.
Not.
Hey, if they can do it to Lance Armstrong, they can do it to anybody.
Yeah, probably.
You never know.
You know, I had scalpers come up to me on the plaza outside of Yankee Stadium that night. This guy had a big, fat envelope filled with cash, and he's like, I'll give you $3,000 a piece for those tickets.
You didn't sell them?
So we looked at each other, and we're like, $3,000? And we're like, you know.
Is there really a decision to be made here?
Wow. Well,
yeah, because the money would be gone in a couple weeks or whatever. God. You pay bills or buy something. But the memory of going to a World Series game,
probably
always got that.
Like I said, my tickets, people were offering $400 for
Clearly,
me.
I have lower standards than you. We already knew that.
How about you, Roy?
I've never been to a World Series game, but I was raised a Reds fan, and I think the entirety of the 75 series was my highlight.
Okay.
Yeah. Although I was in the 1970 game at which the Reds clinched their first pennant in a long, long time.
Okay.
The beginning of the Big Red Machine.
Nice, nice. Yeah, the only thing that I can throw into the mix is being a little tot in 84 and being awoken, even though I had younger brother and sister. It's like, we're going to send you all to bed, and then Dan will come to get you in 5 minutes because we're going to have you watch all of these games. You know, out in San Diego, it was a late night. And actually watching the television in glorious 80s style color as the Tigers won the World Series. That was a pretty big deal. I hope I get to see something like that again, preferably soon. But I'll tell you what, profs, we have some questions here. Dear Prof, since you last read my questions so quickly, I've endeavored to come up with more questions and keep you on your toes. I can't say I take all the credit for these, as I've also enlisted the help of my daughter. I think that he's told us that before, but as always, I hope you're entertained and intrigued. I don't recall what I've requested for a passing score, so I'll leave it up to Professor Mayo. Warmest regards from the sunny coast, our friend Frank Burrows from Valencia, California.
Wonder if the machine. He's a Giants fan.
He's a machine.
Maybe he's a Dodgers fan?
Yeah, it could be a Dodgers fan. Could be a Dodgers fan. Or, you know, a Padres fan. You never know.
Probably a Brooklyn fan.
Yep. Well, there's so many teams in the state, though.
Yes. Don't forget about the California Angels of Anaheim.
Oh, yes. That's true.
But we now have Brooklyn teams again. The Islanders and the Nets are going to be the Brooklyn teams.
The Cyclones, if you like minor league baseball.
Well, Yep.
There's a new team in New York City?
They moved Isles.
The Nets moved from New Jersey, and then the New York Islanders moved to Brooklyn.
It's
going to
be the Brooklyn Nets? Is that what it's going to be?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Well, these questions are all over the map. Let's see what kind of damage we can do here.
Lordy.
What type of wood is most commonly used for making matches? That's a fantastic question. I would never have known how to answer
it. I'm going to guess pine?
Yeah. That
it's not pine.
No?
It's not
something
pine.
Harder. Are you talking about like the hard matches?
I'm talking about a wooden match.
Ash?
It's not ash.
Poplar?
Not poplar.
Cottonwood.
I'm thinking of oak? Colorado.
Spruce?
Nope.
Colorado
is what I'm thinking of. Yes.
Colorado Avalanche?
No.
Rockies?
Wait, Patrick Waugh makes matches? What's going on?
Balsam?
No.
No. It's soft.
It says here that it's aspen.
It's a hardwood, right?
Oh, aspen wood. Okay.
Aspen wood is what's used. We have a few of those around here, but I think they're way more prevalent out west. A little bit drier. What U.S. city featured the first Skid Row? Very interestingly, in the 1800s, it was a road used for skidding logs into town. That should be at least a little bit of a hint. That's fantastic. I'm guessing that even though there was high log traffic, people lived on the side and might have been a little bit destitute, hence the term.
You said out west?
Yeah, I was going to say out west.
Mm-hmm. Washington. It is out west. Getting close.
Seattle?
Seattle is correct. Exactly. Wow. Yeah, absolutely.
Hold on.
It's the only city I know out west. I inhabited that Skid Row often.
Oh my gosh. The kids would ride the logs down the hill for fun. What famous fictional reporter worked at a newspaper called the Daily Star?
Brenda Starr?
You know, that would have been my guess, but that is not it. And I guess she is a famous fictional reporter. Famous, you know.
Ish.
It's not Peter Parker?
It's not. I think Peter Parker works at the Daily Bugle.
Yes.
Also known as the DB.
That's Spider-Man.
Yes.
It's not Clark Kent.
Actually, the answer is Clark Kent and Superman, because the original form of the newspaper he worked for was the Daily Star, which changed to the Daily Planet in 1940.
During the merger. During the acquisition. Rupert Murdoch bought him then.
It's Bain.
First Hearst, then Bain Capital. Yeah, then Rupert Murdoch. Exactly. Very well done. What is the only specific breed of dog mentioned in the Bible? I feel like we've had this question before. It's a good one. For those who have their Biblos memorized, it's Proverbs 30:29.
Hounds?
Yeah, well, they're greyhounds is what it says here. Yeah.
Greyhounds,
yeah. It's the King James Version that mentions greyhounds.
The ancient Hebrews were really into racing.
They were really into greyhounds, too.
Well, and I the first thing that I thought of was because of going to school at Illinois Urbana-Champaign, Southern Illinois is just below us, and theirs are the Salukis. Those are the Egyptian dogs, and I figured that maybe that would have been here. Salukis kind of are greyhounds, I suppose. Depends on how specific you want to get. So
now, if you ask a Saluki,
really?
Dun-dun-dun.
Oh.
Ask the dog. He'll tell you they're not a greyhound. Sorry.
Oh, man.
Bad attempt at a joke.
You remember we tape on Fridays. Fridays.
Before happy hour.
But you can come on Wednesday.
Oh, my.
All right.
What liqueur is added to a screwdriver that makes it a Harvey Wallbanger? I would love to learn this sort of mixology. I think this is sort of fun stuff. Because it's always very,
mystical.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit made up, which I kind of like, being a chemist.
You'd be a great bartender, man.
If I knew what chemicals were out there. I mean, I know what a screwdriver is. That's orange juice and vodka. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I've never had a Harvey Wallbanger before. And I have a feeling that the response given here is actually a brand name and not a type of liquor. Hmm. Vodka is a little generalized. This doesn't look like it is, but I could be wrong. Since I'm so out of purpose. I don't even know how to give it to you guys, so I might have to just reveal. It's Galliano is what it says here. What is that?
No idea.
It's Italian and it's red.
Okay.
And it comes in a container with a little Italian hat. Italian soldier hat from the 19th century.
Okay, and somehow that turns into a drink named Harvey Wallbanger.
How's that Italian? Pretty incredible.
That's his name in translation.
Yeah. Oh. Hervé. exactly. Which British monarch was the first to have the title Defender of the Faith?
Queen Elizabeth.
No.
First.
No.
Victoria?
Henry VIII.
It was Henry VIII, is what it says here.
After he wrote a piece, I think a short book or pamphlet, defending Catholic theology. And that was before he had his marital difficulties and decided to become an opponent of the Catholic Church.
He was the defender of the faith and the founder of the Anglican Church.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
By default.
Politics and religion make for strange bedfellows. What is the title of the
person? He had plenty of bedfellows.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Wait, did I say... strange bedfellows are many
Some of them ended up without...
I don't know that they're bedfellows, but...
What's the title of the person who's in charge of sound effects in post-production of a movie or TV program?
Oh, Foley artist.
Foley?
I knew it was all the right. Best boy.
Now, I know that there's a story.
What is a key grip? I want to know.
Is it named after a person, or is it an action that has the name Foley associated?
I have no idea. I've always just known this.
And we have a video production specialist here.
It is, I believe, named after a person, though I can't think of who right now, but it's a studio, a Foley studio is where they record all these effects in sync with the movie that they're watching.
Well, Foley means something else.
Absolutely.
Oh, different guy.
We hope.
It's always amazing watching those guys perform because they use all kinds of weird things
to make those noises. Yeah.
Yep. So. Yep. And they're always exaggerated. Yep. I mean, I just think it's still mind-blowing.
Well, I mean, last week we finally showed Dan what the Wilhelm scream was all about.
Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah,
right.
It wasn't what I expected.
Exactly.
It was kind of a letdown, actually. It was.
We'll make it
Well,
up
okay.
To you
we're going to get some other screams.
I expected it to be more scary.
Yeah. Okay.
Scarier.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Try this one on for size. Name the TV show that made its debut in 1974 and would have an answering machine play a different message every week.
Charlie's
Mission
Angels?
Impossible.
Neither.
No. Because I thought it was Mission Impossible with the tape.
Yeah, but was that an answering machine? That was more of a...
Answering machine played a different...
It was a tape deck.
Yeah.
74?
74, debut.
Is this Maverick or the guy that was in Maverick, James Garner? What was his show?
Rockford Files.
Not Redford Files.
No. My other guess was going to be the Watergate hearings, but then...
Every week.
That's a new message.
It's like dial a trip or something.
Fun. I mean, Mission Impossible was a tape recorder, really.
That was reel to reel, and I think the Charlie's Angels was.
And it would self destruct in 5 seconds.
Charlie's Angels was just a speakerphone.
Yeah. Right. So that was like.
And John Forsythe would be somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Good luck, Angels.
Taping Dynasty or something. Exactly. Oh, that was 80s.
I'll tell you what, scratch your heads over that one for a few minutes while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
This set of questions comes from Amy DeSantis. And she writes, I've decided to take pity on you and send you more questions. Harry Truman once said that if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog. So I've decided...
It didn't work for me.
You mean Buddy.
I got Buddy.
That's right. You're probably sleeping with Buddy right now.
who doesn't? I'm sorry. Hillary's mad at me.
So these are questions about the first dogs, as Amy calls them. What American president is considered the father of the American foxhound?
I didn't have sex with that foxhound.
I don't think you should share that.
Washington.
That's right.
No.
He crossed the staghounds given to him by the Marquis de Lafayette with his own smaller black and tan Virginia hounds, creating the American foxhound.
I'll be darned.
Roof.
He did this, but the guy couldn't seem to... win a battle.
Well, he's too busy taking pictures of these dogs fooling around. You know?
We're back with some wonderful questions from our questioner extraordinaire, Frank Burrows of Valencia, California.
And his daughter.
And his daughter, yep. His unnamed daughter. He's never
maybe
told us her name.
Maybe she's Valencia.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Let us know. Moving on, what musical instrument did young Albert Einstein play for almost 8 years?
Violin?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know where I heard that, but somewhere.
I heard it from you. Yeah. I'm just a real fast processor.
According to his most recent biography, he played with very different strings later in life. Oh. He became quite a womanizer.
That's right. No, that did come out recently.
And as Leno said, if the smartest man in the world can get away with this, what makes you think you can?
That's so awesome. That's such a great line. Oh, man. What TV cop? Looks like we have a little bit of the theme here. What TV cop had the catchphrase, "You can take that to the bank"?
Beretta?
Beretta.
I thought so.
Who played Beretta?
Like Robert Blake.
Blake.
Who later turned a little crazy.
Who also turned a lot crazy.
Well, he was a little rascal, too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
If I remember
yes, right? He was. Yeah.
Crazy. In 1972, a Soviet spacecraft, Venus 8, made a soft landing on this planet. I'm not exactly sure what a soft or hard landing would be, but what planet did Venus 8 land on?
Mars?
It did not land on Mars.
Earth? Venus.
It says here, Venus with an exclamation point, so there you go. It's like Venus.
Just in case you mislabeled it.
Just trying to get things done around here.
Venus with an exclamation point.
But seriously, soft landing versus hard landing, it's like we don't know it made a hard landing. We're just assuming because we've lost contact.
How does it
forever.
Actually know that it
well,
made
I think
soft
a soft landing is when it like squishes in and is never seen again.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure the Russian space program wasn't that great back then, you know.
Oh,
can I just ask Howard about the Russian space program? You guys don't watch Bing Bang.
Howard just returned
from some time on Soyuz or whatever it is.
Question number 12. What was the name of the magazine founded by Andy Warhol in 1969? I don't think this magazine's around anymore.
Interview.
Interview is the name of it.
It's still around.
Absolutely.
Still around.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, of course
Are
I
you
find
a subscriber?
That.
I was.
Wow.
Back in the early 80s, I was a subscriber.
What sort of content did this Interview magazine
It was
have?
Just a fashion magazine. But I bought it because he always did all the covers.
I see.
So it would just be this huge, you know, it's a huge format magazine. It had this gorgeous illustration that he did every month. Hmm. That's the only reason I got it.
Hmm. I immediately, of course, am piqued because I read the same headline everybody else did. It was about a week ago where Newsweek is going out of print. That's a pretty big deal here in the States.
No, they're just going digital.
Right. They're going out of print. Yes. Literally out of print. Pretty crazy stuff.
I'm afraid time might follow. It's getting thinner
and
thinner.
Oh, I know. Time's only like 10 pages, man.
If even that.
Yeah.
They've both been heading out of print.
I used to deliver the Detroit News 7 days a week.
Mm.
And I'm like wondering, what do people do now, like to house train their dogs?
It's true.
There's no more newspaper. It's what do you? Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
They can't use the internet for that.
Line their bird cages.
I mean, they could, but
paper towels.
Professors, which first lady was born Thelma Catherine Ryan?
Oh, Pat Nixon.
Pat Nixon, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Jane Once Holly. She met and married Dick, she didn't want anybody to know who she really was.
How did she go from point A to point B is a reasonable question to ask, isn't it?
So, what was her name again?
Thelma Catherine Ryan.
For some reason, she was.
So where did Pat come from?
Well, must have been a nickname. There's a story told on my mother's side of the family that my mother's mother's mother, my great-grandmother, who I knew for a number of years growing up, was called Dora almost her whole life. And the bottom line was her middle name was Theodora. Her first name was Catherine. She did not find this out until her first grandchild got baptized and they were confirming things for baptismal certificates. It's like, well, you know, we're just going to call you Dora forever. We don't care what your real first name
is. She didn't know her first name was Catherine.
She did not know her first name was Catherine, yes.
Did she feel betrayed?
I don't know. It's often followed by a story about how my grandmother didn't know my mom's birthday for about the first 15 years of her life. They got to the birth certificate and they'd been celebrating it May 3rd. It was actually May 5th. So there's a lot of other family stories that follow after
Well,
that, yeah.
Yeah, and now that we've been introduced to Sarah Palin's family, there's some interesting names, and you don't know whether they're nicknames or whether they're
actual names.
Well, Tripp. The Romneys, too. Or, I mean, Tag.
Yes, Tag. I wonder what Tag's real name is.
You're it.
But it's T-A-G-G.
Yeah.
Well, they can afford the extra G.
Oh, they can.
They really can.
I'm sure it was expensive.
They can afford changing one's name from Willard to Willard, too, you know, obviously. That's the truth. Somebody always asks, what's Mitt short for? And it's like, actually nothing, right? It's his middle name. In what Canadian province would one find the town head smashed in?
Uh-oh.
Oh, Alberta.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And our Alberta ringer comes through.
It's because, actually, I went there.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
Did you get a postmark or something?
Head smashed in. It's a historical site. Oh. It's where the Indians used to run buffalo.
Whose head was smashed in?
Why?
Buffalo.
Oh, buffalo heads.
Why did they run buffalo off the cliff?
It's easier to kill them.
Did they hire lemmings to come and lead them?
Dan, it was the it's the easiest way they could find a tenderized buffalo steak.
That would do it.
Oh, it's one stop shop.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Think about it. Do you want to really wrestle with a buffalo, or do you just want to chase them off of a hill?
Well, I suppose it makes sense that the same province would have a medicine hat and a head smashed in. They kind of go
and a bunch of other, you know.
Profs, this is a great one. What has to be done to a United States flag before it's displayed at half staff as a sign of mourning?
Someone's got
to
die.
You got to lower it all the way and then raise it back up to half staff.
Actually, yeah, it's the opposite. At least that's what it says here, Jim. You're right.
Or raise it all the way up and then down to half staff.
And then bring it back to half staff. Yeah. I wonder why that is.
I think Dave's absolutely correct.
Because that's the signal. I mean, that's the signal that you're doing it for a reason rather than just not being able to get it up all the way.
I don't have the strength to raise the flag.
Well, sometimes those pulleys get stuck, you know.
Wait, so Dave, just to go back to your answer, you were saying someone had to pass away first.
Yeah, I mean, makes sense, right?
You could mourn other things, I suppose.
Well, as a dean who has a role in certain development issues, it's kind of like a planned gift. They're really, really good to get, but bad things have to happen to get them.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right.
Now, does anybody remember like the flag code and all those things?
I was a Cub Scout, so I think I've
had some of that too.
So do you remember like lowering the flag and how to fold it and all the ceremony?
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And the ultimate insanity from the youth of a Generation Xer, I want you to imagine late 70s, early 80s, being a Cub Scout and hearing over and over the flag code called for the non-desecration of used flags by burning. Mm-hmm. And then seeing the flag burning debate come onto the stage and being one of the most confused young Americans that I've ever been. It's like, but that's what you're supposed to do.
Although it's protected speech now.
Could you name all five of New York City's boroughs?
Yes.
Yes.
Queens, Brooklyn, the Bronx.
Manhattan.
Long Island.
Staten Island.
You got them. And just for a kicker, because it's not listed here, but it's a great piece of trivia, why is the borough system so unique? What's the deal with New York City being made of these five pieces of land? Do you know?
Was it divided up among five brothers?
Something like that in terms of tradition, but actually municipally speaking, why is it such a big deal that there are these five boroughs that are one city?
Because they're all independent.
They're all independent.
But they have one mayor.
They have one mayor. That's a big deal. But they're from different counties. They're actually from five different counties in the state of New York.
They are?
It's pretty weird. And while you ponder that, we'll say a quick goodbye, Professor Chow.
Goodbye.
Professor Tubbs.
Goodbye.
Professor Machio.
Goodbye.
Professor Roach.
Goodbye.
That's all the time we have for today. Now these words.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu. Or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Adam Winbigler and technically directed by Michael Jason. And our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.